Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks so much for joining us this week. So my quote today is actually by one of my favorite all-time people who have walked this earth, and that's Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer. And Wayne says, change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. Now, wouldn't you agree that for every business in our global economy, sales is a key component to the success or the demise of the organization? Yeah, you know, other things like marketing, internal processes, compliant manufacturing, all that kind of stuff, all critical as well. The thing is, if your salespeople can't deliver the message effectively and develop relationships with the decision makers or buyers, then all the other departments kind of don't matter. So why are people afraid or ineffective when it comes to those really quality sales conversations? And would you be surprised to learn that there's actually a psychological component to every sales conversation? I go back to my quote, change the way you look at things and the things you look at change. What if you were able to understand the psychology just a little bit better and to change the way you look at sales? Do you think that maybe the conversations would change as well? I sure do. Now stay tuned as my guest unravels the psychology behind money and the sales process that may be getting in the way of you having financial and business success. So my guest today, back for the second time, is Lori Ann Reeves. Now Lori Ann is a sales and business strategist, professional psychotherapist, speaker and writer, and premier success coach. Now business and entrepreneurs, hire Lori Ann to connect, capture, and to close business by working with them to sell confidently and with authority. Now, she helps them with the psychological aspect of money dynamics that actually can get in the way of financial and business success. Now, Lori Ann's been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, and she helps lead sales teams for major events and consults with corporations to enhance team dynamics. Her clients range from those solo entrepreneurs to Fortune 500 companies to help them all understand how a business model, sales, and marketing plans need to align to work together for growth. So please help me welcome again back for the second time, Lori Ann, to the show. So thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, Connie. I really appreciate it. Love being on your show last time. So glad I'm back.
Yeah. And you know, the word sales, we all freak out. We're going to talk, obviously, about sales because at the corner, and here's the thing, Lori Ann, I don't care what job you have, there's got to be a component of sales to what you do, right? Whether you're servicing a client, it creates an opportunity for more sales, right? So we're all doing sales in some way.
We are. You know, it doesn't matter if you're selling services or selling products. There are, to me, three major components for folks. You've got to solve a problem. You've got to have a clear and compelling message, and you got to sell the darn thing. And people want to put everything else in front. Yeah. And it's just not the way to do it. We're actually building businesses backwards when we do the opposite of those three components.
And it's painful for the business owner or for the person doing the sales because we're so afraid to use the word sales or to ask for the business that we try to serve. Well, if you're serving someone, you have to be selling them something. Otherwise, right, you're just being a nice person, which is lovely, but we have to sell something. So what do you find?
Absolutely.
And now you deal with, again, entrepreneurs, but you deal with corporations too.
Do you see
a common mistake or a number one mistake that people make with building their business?
Oh, absolutely. So around the component of sales, the trend has been for the last few years to call sales anything else but sales. And it really has confused business building and even big corporations who should know better. We're client enrollment. We're our consultants are here to help you. Wonderful language, but it really doesn't speak to what you do. Because when you're in business, whether you're a solo, a small business, or a big corporation, you're here to not only serve your clients at the highest level, but to make some awesome money at the same time.
Absolutely. And I don't know why we feel guilty that we're making money. These big corporations that spend millions on marketing, you know, at the Super Bowl, right? They spend a ton of money. They're selling all of us using media, marketing, whatever. Yet we're afraid as business owners or as salespeople to sell. It's mind-boggling to me. You know why I think too, Lorianne, and I know you believe this as well, because you and I have talked about this. Sales, I believe that if we're serving at the highest level, I have to be making viable recommendations to my client to help them do better at whatever it is that they're doing, whatever the expectation, whatever my delivery is, doesn't matter. So I have to be selling something. Otherwise, we're not really building a relationship because I'm never helping, truly helping that person or that organization. Now, what do you attribute this, I'm going to call it a glitch, but what do you attribute this big fear of calling sales?
In the entrepreneurial and human development space, they think it's like this, the used car salesman. But, you know, I bought my car last time from a used car lot, and it was a wonderful experience. So we have that sleaziness, that salesiness for small businesses and entrepreneurs in the corporate world. I think they're just trying to be a little fancy. You know, they're trying to find all these new little niches to set themselves apart, and they get away from the fundamentals. We hear this all the time when a big corporation fails or files bankruptcy, like Sears recently. They got away from their core fundamentals, what they did, and they didn't keep up. And they went and found some fancy ways or some fancy guy to try a CEO to help them, and it didn't work. We tend to forget what works, and we have short memories. And then we always think from a negative perspective. Human beings just have a tendency to be negative. And so if sales starts having a bad word, then it kind of spreads like wildfire. So I think it's just those components that have really set this up. And social media.
Yeah. What makes that a problem? And I don't care what size the business or the organization is. What's the bottom line of the true core problem that a business faces then?
That back to those three fundamentals. The problem you solve, your clear and compelling message, and the sales, but the system talks to you. I tell corporations this, so they understand systems because more than a smaller business. But a corporation, when I say to them, this is happening, the system is talking to you, you're losing clients. So the system is telling you you're doing something wrong. Where's the glitch? So what department do we have to go to? What is the system in that department telling us? Of course, there's a little more depth to that. But my point is your business, no matter what level, but especially at a big level, the system is pointing in the direction. You just have to see it. And it's really getting away from their core clients in there. I'm okay about going into another direction and having another division. That's not the issue. But the cornice of who you are as a business and your what you say and what people know about you needs to go stay with you no matter what you're putting out there.
And you know who I just thought of, or what organization I just thought of, as you were saying that they stayed with their core value? It's Amazon. Amazon started as an online book seller.
Yes.
That was where, and today they're still one of the best online book sellers. So he introduces different divisions, now he does the food and all of those things. He becomes the best at whatever that new division is, but he never abandons his core, where he still makes a lot of money, is off the books.
And what he learned in the books, selling books online, he has taken the right components from that.
Yes.
Put in the other divisions, so now they're smooth. You know, once you work out the kinks, they become just part of the culture. He can be in books to groceries. I mean, he's going to be doing other things, and he will do the same thing. Jeff Bezos will do the same thing.
So it's the system. He has a good core system, and whatever that system is that he developed while he was selling the books, again, trying to be the best, he's just duplicating that with whatever. And that, you know, it's so funny because when I teach sales classes, I say, I don't care what you're selling. It doesn't matter. If you can engage and ask the right questions to your client base and you deliver exactly what they need when they need it, and you've just improved their quality of life with whatever you're selling, from a copier to a checking account, don't care. If you do a good job at that, they're going to keep coming back to you. They're going to give you referrals. They're going to become lifelong clients of yours because you do the right thing for them. Yet that's selling. So why is that such a bad thing, right? I want to circle back. You said social media before. So how should folks think about social media? Because social media now all of a sudden is taking the place of sales. It doesn't work. So how should they think?
I want to scream. But
I know.
For the sake of your audience. Well, first of all, I like social media for the good things it does. So I just want to say that. So social media is taking the place of sales, and people are making a mistake with that. There's a couple things happening with social media and other things people do. So they're using social media because they're afraid to sell. So they think, if I can get it through Messenger, a posting, and all that does when you're on social media is give you social proof. It lets people know what you're doing, what you're up to. That's more of a credentialing type thing. You still got to ask for the business. But people, because they don't like sales, social media has helped speed up the demise of the word sales, but it hasn't done anything to the sales itself, because people who get it make money, and people who don't are out of business in 5 years, especially if you're under $5 million. If you are not paying attention, you'll be gone in 5 years.
It's interesting. I went to a networking event and I won, which is funny because I never win anything, but I won a free consult from a woman who's an expert on LinkedIn. So, you know, my LinkedIn profile, it needs work. I know it, right? But we all do, right? Because I run my business. I don't necessarily have time for that. Here's the thing. As we were chatting, I said to her, I'm really particular when I send an invite or accept one from a LinkedIn person. You know, I have, I don't know, maybe 2,000 followers, whatever, 2,000 connections, which isn't huge, but it's not bad, right? So I said to her, but most of those 2,000 know who I am. So they've seen me, they've met me, in a course, speaking, whatever it is. So I said, and whenever they have a birthday, I engage, not just what LinkedIn puts, but I put, you know, enjoy your day and wishing you a year of blessings. Or if they have an anniversary and it's, you know, 1 year, like I'll put, wow, time must really have flown. Hope you're well. You know, are you enjoying your new position?
You're building a relationship.
Yes. And so I get responses and we end up having a very quick dialogue or whatever. But it's interesting. I've gotten business from that, whether it's coaching or somebody calling me and saying, hey, I just went to this new company. They need communication, help with communication skills. You know, can you help with that? Can you talk to me about that? So it's just interesting. And she laughed and she said, that's because you're good at sales. That for me, it's not, oh, how many people could I get following me? I don't even think about that, Lorianne, to be honest. It's about how can I engage so that I add value to people's lives so that when and if they need me, they know where to find me, but they know that I can deliver whatever it is that they're looking for. So that's right. That's the social media component of the you use the word credentialing.
Credentialing and social proof. Social proof is you exist. You're putting things out there on your business page about your business or in LinkedIn. Once in a while, you connect with the people personally. If someone says something, or like you're doing on LinkedIn, and credentialing is, as you're doing that, you're building your credentials of who you are, what you can do to serve them, and how you can engage in business. It's not selling, it's credentialing. And then sales is different, and that's how you get business. But you lead, this is your way of getting them to become a lead for you from a true, like from a authentic perspective, because you're engaging with them as a relationship, not a LinkedIn profile.
You know, it's interesting. When I started my business 17 years ago, and I thought, why am I successful in sales? What do I do? And I really thought about it. And I came up with seven key key developmental things that I developed, skills, and it's 7 steps to be able to, you know, get and sustain business. And the second to last step is asking for the business. And when I teach it, I say, if you're good at the other 5 steps, you know, building that rapport, you know, asking the right questions, your presentation is spot on where you're not doing ums and you knows and all of that. All of those are key skills to develop. If you, and I guess it's the credentialing and the social proof, once people know the quality, by the time you get to asking for the business, it's, let's schedule it. Here's the contract. Please send me the retainer. Yeah. It's not, it's not a big, what do you think? You know, it's sign here because you've proven yourself before you ask for the business. And I think, and I know, Lorianne, that you've met people that it's not the right time. So what I say is, listen, you're not ready for this or you can't afford this. Let's do this. Let's have a call twice a year. I'll try to help you with what you're trying to build, free of charge, because I want to serve. And then when you're in a position, you and I can bring it to the next level. I get a lot of business that way. Is it really a lot of my time? No, but it's that credentialing, but also I'm helping them. So when they do have the funds to do it, they think of me. They don't go anywhere else because I've served them in, you know, without getting paid, right? I mean, you can't do that too frequently, but you know what I'm saying? You build the value.
You build the value. I can remember a couple times. It happened actually last month. Someone called me. I had met her before, so obviously she had been following and she was on my email list. And I go to kind of go through my sales conversation because I have a way of doing it like we all do. Sure. And she goes, oh, stop, Lorianne. You don't have to do that. I already decided. Here's my credit card, you know? So when you do it the right way, you get lots of wins like that. It's not always like that, but it shows the system talked in that moment and let me know that I was serving her just through nurturing her and having a conversation 6 months earlier. And she went on and decided her timing was right. And she called me.
And it's timing. It's never personal. If someone says, no, thanks, it's not the right fit. They don't have the money. It's not the right time for them. You know, sometimes we have to mentally catch up. We know what we have to do. Well, I'm not really sure I'm ready to do that yet. Right. So that's the psychological component we talked about.
That is the psychological piece, because you should be ready to sell the minute you start your business. And the reason you're not ready to sell, it's a self-worth issue. It's a visibility issue. You've got money blocks. There's all kinds of things from a psychological perspective that could be happening. And when that happens, again, the system talks. It lets me know your personal system is out of whack with what you need to do.
And how does social media affect our ability to sell? Again, let's go from that psychological standpoint from the social media platform.
All right. So I don't want to be sleazy. I don't want to be salesy or the whole bit. So I'll just go to social media and it puts a wall in between me and my potential client, but it protects me. It's a protection mode and it prevents you from growing your business the way you should. You may get some sales. I'm not saying you can't use social media. Some businesses, you should be there. There's Instagram influencers and that's the way they do it. And I get that. But for the majority of businesses, it's just a social proof and credentialing piece. And it's really not the selling piece. But the blocks become how to protect yourself from not wanting to deal with your psychological beliefs that are in the way of you stepping into being a true business owner.
And I love that because it really is psychological. At the core, it's fear. Fear of I'm not good
fear
enough.
Of what?
Fear of rejection, right? Fear of, you know, self-worth, whatever it is. There's that fear component. So that's interesting. So social media is almost like a barrier, which now what's the outcome when we put a barrier in front of us? What's the outcome that you see over and over again with your clients?
Very little growth. You know, they're done in 2 years usually.
But
now, bigger corporations is a longer life cycle, and they don't make that mistake as much. But they actually make the mistake of, I think corporations make the mistake of combining sales and marketing, and then it blurs, and they don't have a distinction. That's where I see corporations making the mistake.
Well, you can't be everything to everybody either.
No, you can't.
Because that's dangerous. Yeah, because then
got to stay in your lane.
Yeah. Otherwise, nobody will buy from you or hire you because they don't know what you do.
Right.
Right. So there's the...
That happens with a lot of coaches, consultants, and strategists because they want to get business. So they say they do all these things and you confuse people. And then that's the messaging piece people miss. And then they don't sell anything. And it's a real problem.
So. Yeah, we're on a treadmill and we're going nowhere fast, right? What's the right order that you've seen or that you've created in actually building that business? What would be, you know, just like the strategy that you use in building a business?
Sure. So for those three components and the strategy under that, I would, so if you're just a small business owner, and then I'll talk a little bit about bigger organizations, you just need a business page on Facebook or a LinkedIn profile. You can do the free one. And you just need one or two pages on your website. That's it. Then you need to be able to niche down in what you're providing so people understand in your messaging what you do. You can expand later, but right off the bat, that's what you do. 60% of your time should be in money generating activities. Then you should fulfill, and then you should do your marketing and everything else. But we flip it. I just spoke to two sisters. I didn't know they were sisters at first. They spoke to me separately. And they have spent the last 2 years getting credentials, out the wazoo, getting a website, writing a book. And I said, what are you writing a book on? You haven't sold anything. I mean, you don't even know how that's going to connect. And so they did it backwards. Now they realize 2 years later, probably $60,000 in debt, maybe they need to someone like me to help them build their business, because you need to embrace that you're a business owner first who happens to consult or who happens to have products. They don't separate. They go hand in hand and go together. You cannot separate them, because most small businesses say to me, oh, I just want to do my consulting or my coaching. I don't want to do the business stuff. Okay. Energetically, the business is going to walk away and the money's saying, I'm not coming to you. Really? Because you've just told your business and your money you don't want it.
Yes. Well, because everything is energy. Money is energy, right? We forget that. We really forget that. Money is just a means of energy to pay the bills, right? Or to put, you know, pay for your car or your mortgage or rent, whatever it is. It's interesting because if I'm understanding you correctly, and I love this separation, credentialing and selling, you need the credentialing, right, to validate so that you can make more sales. It's interesting.
Credentials gives you social proof that you're legit, but it doesn't get you business.
No, and these women spent so much time on the credentialing social proof aspect, but they never engaged in the actual sales of what they were offering. They were built, so you're doing it backwards. You're building upside down. It's like you're building a house upside down.
Right. One of my talks is, we're building our businesses backwards. Stop it. That's my title. Building our businesses backwards. Stop it. But social media has contributed a lot to that too. And there are a lot of people out there that are teaching things that people buy. And it's one of my pet peeves and rants. And they're not credentialed to do it. But they're making money because they've got a great message. But people believe it because it's easier to write a book or easier to do a podcast or easier to get credentialed than having to ask for money, because money tells us not only about our business, it tells us about ourselves, and it brings up a lot of stuff from a psychological perspective, and people run from that. That's why, really, literally, that's why it happens.
Which is so interesting, because I know everybody's listening is like, what? It's psychological? No. I just feel like a dirtbag if I have to ask for the business. When it's, again, if you're providing a solution, what's icky about that, right? There's nothing icky about that. It's rewarding because you're helping someone. It's so funny when you were given examples of building your business. I remember when I started my business 17 years ago, I created a basic sales class because I thought that's what I'm really good at. I'm good at communicating how to go from I am terrified to really, that's all I have to do. Basic class. And it was funny because as I would, you know, get my clients and I would teach them, they'd come to me and say, you know, this makes sense. Can you teach us now time management skills? I'm very good at time management. So I'm like, oh my God, I have so many great things. So I developed a half day program for that. And then someone comes to you and says, you know, we're really good at we're getting the sales, but their presentation, my people are saying ums, you knows. I'm like, oh, I have this great idea that how I present and I videotape myself. I think we should videotape people. Oh, that's great. So all of a sudden, within 5-6 years, I had like 12 to 15 classes that people had come to me. Can you do this? I'm like, oh, yes, that's another great skill that I can teach them. You're ready for it. Yes, we can do that. They were coming to me, not me. You know, I have this other class I developed. I developed one thing that I knew I was good at foundationally. Yep. And then from there, I was asked for all the other stuff. So just interesting.
That is a system talking to you. You started with what you did the best and knew you could deliver, and the system, it came through people. Systems always come through people. Money always comes through people. Doesn't fall from the sky. You either get a paycheck, you have a business, or you inherit. It's usually, unless you steal, but we're not going to include that one, right? So it's the system talking, saying, Connie, we really liked what you did, but our people need this next. So you responded like a good business owner.
Yeah, and it's so funny at the time because I was such a new business owner. I was, you know, late 30s, early 40s. Like, really, I didn't know anything about running a business. But see, my desire, and at the core, this is who I am. I really, really want to help people. And I want to take something that people feel that is complicated or a complex situation and go, you know, all you need to do, it's so easy. And as soon as people, they go, really? And I'm like, let me teach you how to do that. It's just so easy. And I think that's why when people see, because then I help them. The other thing I'm big on is self-assessing. I believe you have to look within. What am I really, where am I glitching out? Because that's where I need the help. And if I'm not really sure where I'm glitching out, how can I refine my own skills? So when I teach people that, they start, again, this is probably part of my system. Didn't even realize this early on. But if we self-assess, be honest with yourself, you're like, oh, and it's usually a little skill that once you can develop it, all of a sudden you manifest all of the things you're wishing for. But you have to develop skills.
Absolutely. You do. And it can be as simple as asking a question a different way to yourself. So you open up your vision of what opportunities are out there for you, or the space enough to take on sales or take on what is in your way.
Yeah.
So it's not hard work. We just make it hard. People are bad about making everything hard. We love living in crisis. We love living in struggle. It's how human beings are evolved because of we evolved from the cave times, and that it was always that way. It was survival, but we've still taken on some of that culture, and we apply it today when it's not necessary, and it can be so easy to make money in your business. It really can.
It's amazing. Can you give us, we have about 4 minutes left. Can you give us a case study of someone who was just profoundly struggling and boom, you know, that this huge transformation after working with you and working through their issues?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you about, I have a millennial client that I met this summer, and she didn't even know what she didn't know. So that's how that, this is a gal that was homeschooled, but yet wasn't homeschooled, went to college after, she's had a lot of struggles, didn't know anything, had to take all those remedials, went to college, and I wanna say that because she really worked it hard.
Wow.
Got an appointment with a CEO of a hospital in a major city, and she's telling me about this. I said, do you know what you're gonna do? I mean, this is a selling opportunity. And she's like blank. She goes, oh, I think I need to hire you. And I said, yes, you do. So I just said it. I said, you're not going to succeed even a little bit if you don't hire me right now. And we get on the phone in the next 2 days because her appointment was less than a week away.
Yeah, opportunity's gone.
Right, right. So here she had it first with the CEO. I helped her develop the questions she needed to ask, the sequence of how she needed to be in that meeting, how she needed to respond to him about her product, what were research is important for this industry. So what does the research tell them about your product? So I'm always thinking about how my clients can use what a potential customer or client can have, because their system, they've got a glitch somewhere and there's your gap to move in.
Sure.
She came back with a follow-up with like 20 doctors. 2 months later, she has the appointment. Again, she didn't know how to do anything. We had to, you know, really work that through. But the thing I'll tell you about her, I mean, literally blank canvas when we first started, she was always willing to take on the coaching, and she would go practice. She would come back. She had crazy questions. She had maybe some questions you and I would think are so fundamental, but she didn't know. And actually, she just landed that big client for herself. I mean, we're talking several hundred thousand dollars.
That's amazing.
In less than 6 months.
That's
her
amazing.
Commission. It'll be paid over time. She's an independent salesperson, but she didn't know she was. That was the thing. She did not know she was an independent. She just told me, well, I work with this distributor. I said, oh, you're an independent sales rep. And it was like, really?
It's so adorable.
It is. So much success, because she kept working it and she was open and she just said, I know nothing about sales, but I'm going to listen to everything you say. And she got it.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Millennials, I am. What's the good word? Intrigued by the millennials and how their minds think, because it's definitely different than the way I think.
Absolutely.
The thing is, they're not afraid.
They're not.
They're like, what's the worst that can happen? And I think that is such a good way to look at life, not to take undue risk. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying, millennials that are listening.
Calculated risk.
And they're not afraid of what's the worst that can happen. As long as I can pay my bills, or, you know, if the upside is so great, why not? So I think that they conquer fear easier than our generation, Lorianne. I think that I'm intrigued by that. Maybe we've taught that, right? Because the millennials are our children. Maybe we've instilled that in them without even realizing it. But it's I say go for it, you know, go for it, because fear, you got it. And fear is nothing more than courage. Let me say this. I feel courage is nothing more than being afraid and saying, I still have to move forward. That's courage.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, if you're not feeling uncomfortable, well, as a business owner at each step of the way, you're not growing.
It's true.
And the one thing I want to tell about her is, you know, while she was going through this process, she drove Uber, she made specialty candles, and she bartended so she could pay her bills until this came through. And she really, she's kind of methodical. She didn't want to like go to other places just yet. She wanted that first big win first. And I wouldn't have worked that way, but from her, the way her personality is and how she learns, it had to be that way for her. But she was willing to do what it took to get it.
And that's the other thing too, Lorianne. I don't care how we slice and dice it, we have to work at it. And I don't mean work hard where, you know, you're killing yourself, but you have to do that inner work. You have to listen to an expert and execute what they're recommending. If I'm successful with what I do and I tell you do X, Y, and Z, you should do the X, Y, and Z system, because it's proven. It works. Same thing with you when you have clients. She did everything you told her. I say kudos to that young lady, that she was able to put the blinders on, focus on what she needed to do, and did it. I think, good for her.
Yep. My older clients are harder around that. They think they know it all. So that's the only problem we have. So with that. And they get their spouses saying, you don't need to invest in yourself. You're smart enough. You can do it alone. It's really terrible advice.
It really is, because the reality is, Lorianne, we can't do it alone. I feel like every day I'm like, oh, I need to do that. And you get the knot in your stomach like, oh my God, I don't know anything about that. And I think, pull up your big girl panties and move forward, baby, because you got to learn that to bring your business to the next level, to scale whatever it is that we're trying to do with our business. You got to be uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think uncomfortable is a good thing. It keeps us fresh.
It is a good thing.
It absolutely is. Hey, guys, we're out of time. But listen, if you want to check out Lorianne, go to her website. It's lorianreeves.com. I'm going to spell it. Lori is LORIANNE Reeves, REEVES.com. Or you can email Lorianne directly at lorianne@lorianreeves.com. So easy, Lorianne, for them to find you.
I know. I'm over social media like that too, so it's just my name.
So if they want to, if you want to follow her on Facebook or LinkedIn, again, that's the way to connect with Lorianne. Yeah. Lorianne, thank you so much for just the tips, insight, the clarification of the credentialing and selling, and you know, the steps that we have to go through or ask ourselves to move from point A to point B. So thank you so much for your insight and wisdom. It's helpful. Plus, you know, I love the psychology of the sales. So
My pleasure, Connie.
Yeah, that
my
excites pleasure. Me. I know I need to get a life, right? Clearly, everybody's like, Connie, you need to get a life. Everybody, if you'd like to, my partner and I, we're still offering that free communication style assessment. Go to wisdomdecoded.com. Right on the landing page, you get the free assessment and you get a little report. Tells you what your strengths are, your superpowers, and it also gives you maybe where you're glitching out and some challenges that you face. Again, very insightful. It's a free report and a free assessment, wisdomdecoded.com. Email me directly if you have questions or need help with anything sales related, business related. Reach me at Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com. Again, Lorianne, thank you so much for being on and just sharing just such a wealth of information. Always appreciated.
You're welcome.
My pleasure. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that we can challenge ourselves and grow from wherever you are, whatever standpoint. You know, Lorianne just gave some great tips today. And again, when you feel uncomfortable, that's where the magic happens. So just challenge yourself, embrace change, and realize that you've got this. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful, inspired week, and go sell something. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.